Welcome to the Caltex Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltex Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. Tonight in the Caltex Theatre, you will hear the delightful story of four English women who rent a magnificent castle on the Italian coast, there to spend an enchanted April. Starring tonight, you will hear Mari Clark, your producer, E. Mason Wood. The Caltex Theatre presents The Enchanted April, Act One.
Rose, Rose, are you awake?
Yes, come in, Lottie.
Oh, you're drinking it all in too. The sun, just feel the sun.
Look at the mountains.
And the sea down there, far, far down. The Mediterranean, Rose. Have you ever seen such colours?
And that great cypress.
We must go out. We must go straight out into that garden.
It all seems too good to be true.
Rose?
Yes?
You look happy. I think it's the first time you've looked happy since I met you.
Do I? So do you, Lottie.
Oh, I don't believe our husband would know us.
Everything seems to have changed overnight. We've changed.
It's this place, San Salvatore. Up to now, I've always had to take what beauty I could. A patch of daisies in a Hampstead field, or a sunset hung between two London chimney pots.
I know.
Sometimes in the spring, I'd buy 6 tulips at Shulbeds. I daren't tell Mellish, my husband, how much they cost. Oh, Rose, just look at the flowers down there. A miracle.
It's all been a miracle, Lottie. Ever since that wet February day when you spoke to me in the restaurant.
You must have thought me quite mad, a perfect stranger. But when I looked up from that advertisement and saw you reading it too...
To those who appreciate wisteria and sunshine, small medieval castle on shores of Mediterranean to be let furnished for the month of April.
I'll never know what made me suggest that we rent it together. Strangers, and I've always been painfully shy. And in all my married life, I never dared make a decision without consulting Mellish. But quite suddenly, I saw us here.
You made it all sound so simple.
It hasn't been very simple. I've drawn my entire nest egg out to pay my share, and without telling Mellish. I've lied to Mellish.
Oh, not a very bad lie, Lottie. Just that you're staying in Italy as the guest of your new friend, myself.
But if he ever found out the truth, that my nest egg's gone... Even though we advertised for 2 other women to share the cost, and that I needed so badly to get away from him.
Let's explore our castle while it's still entirely ours. Tomorrow we'll have to share it with the other two.
Mrs. Fisher. I could endure Lady Caroline Dester because she's young and she's so very pretty. But I do wish we could have managed without Mrs. Fisher's share of the rent.
We hadn't any choice, with only 2 answers to our advertisement.
I know. And in any case, after all, it is our castle. We invited the others in, and it's ours in the first place.
Let's go down and explore.
Oh, the lilies, how beautiful.
Rose. Yes, I see. Someone sitting on the wall down there.
She's dangling her feet among our lilies just as if it didn't matter.
It's Lady Caroline Dester.
Oh. Then they're her lilies as much as ours.
Only 1/4 of them.
Good morning, Lady Caroline.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Wilkins, Mrs. Arbuthnot. I have your names right, haven't I?
Quite right. But we didn't expect you until tomorrow.
I got here early yesterday.
Yesterday?
I expect I was in bed hours before you arrived last night.
Oh. Well, that's a pity. We were going to choose the nicest room for you, Lady Caroline.
Oh, but I've done that already.
You have? Oh, well, we meant to make it pretty for you with flowers.
I told Domenico to do that as soon as I arrived.
Did you?
Domenico?
He's the gardener. He looks after the castle. I expect he brought your bags up the hill for you last night.
Oh, Domenico. Oh, well, yes. You've certainly made yourself at home. You know, Lady Caroline, I didn't realize when we interviewed you that you were so very pretty.
It's very kind of you to think so, Mrs. Wilkins.
Why, you're lovely, quite lovely.
I hope you make the most of it, Lady Caroline.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Arbuthnot. I've been making the most of it ever since I can remember. In fact, I came here in order to get away from it.
Oh.
I suppose you'll both be going into breakfast. Excuse me. I had mine in my bedroom.
Yes. Yes, breakfast. She did tell us at the interview that she was anxious to be alone.
Not a very good beginning, though. Well, come along. There's lots to do today. Servants to be interviewed.
The house to be examined.
And Mrs. Fisher's room to be got ready.
Oh, buongiorno, signore.
Oh, good morning.
Who on earth? Mr. Briggs, the owner, said the parlourmaid Francesca would be here.
Francesca? Oh, I do wish I could understand Italian. Breakfast, Francesca?
Si, signore. Breakfast, ecco.
This must be the dining room. Oh,
Mrs. Fisher.
Good morning.
You here too? Why, it's like having the bread taken out of one's mouth.
Indeed. I can't get up without my stick. I'm a bit lame, you know. Rheumatism.
We had no idea that you were here, Mrs. Fisher.
Oh, yes, I'm here. Oh, forgive me if I go on with my breakfast. I don't care for cold boiled eggs.
We meant to give you a welcome tomorrow.
Indeed. Where will you sit? On my left, Mrs. Arbuthnot, please.
Thank you. I'll sit here.
Oh. Oh, do you take tea or coffee?
Coffee, thank you.
Francesca?
Si, signora.
But Lottie or I should be pouring out.
Francesca, portate ancora da latte.
Latte, si, signora.
You speak Italian, Mrs. Fisher?
I have read Dante, Mrs. Willis.
My friend's name is Wilkins.
As I told you when I interviewed you both in London, my father was intimately acquainted with the most eminent men of letters of his time.
But it was we who interviewed you.
Of all nations, including Italian. Grazie, Francesca.
Prego, signora.
Will you have some coffee, Mrs. Arbuthnot?
No, thank you, Mrs. Fisher. Will you?
No, thank you.
What delicious fruit.
I hope your room is comfortable, Mrs. Fisher.
Quite. There was an extra bed, which I ordered the castle servants to remove.
Oh, that's why I have two beds in my room.
So have I, Lottie.
Doubtless the one Lady Caroline ordered removed from her room.
Well, I don't see any use in extra beds in one's room if one hasn't got husbands to put in them. I'll have mine put somewhere else.
Beds cannot be removed indefinitely from one room to another. They must remain somewhere.
But beds without
in
husbands...
In my days, Mrs. Williams, beds, if they had to be mentioned, were approached with caution. And a decent reserve prevented them and husbands ever being spoken of in the same breath. Shall I order for you, Mrs. Arbuthnot?
No, thank you. Is there anything I can do for you?
Yes. You may excuse me. No doubt tomorrow you and Mrs. Wilson will be at breakfast on time.
On time?
What time would you like lunch, Mrs. Fisher?
Luncheon is at 12:30. I have arranged it.
But really, really?
Rose, don't you see? If arrangements are made for us, we won't have to do anything. After years and years and years of having to do so much. Mrs. Fisher, you wouldn't believe what terribly good and long-suffering women Mrs. Arbuthnot and I have been, and how we need a perfect rest.
Indeed. I'm going up to my sitting room, where I hope to enjoy a little privacy and peace.
Why, of all of...
Oh, don't let that old woman upset you, Rose.
After all, if it weren't for us, she wouldn't be here. I dislike having everything taken out of my hands.
I simply love things being taken out of mine.
Oh, that woman.
Only yesterday I was sitting at the same old table in Hampstead, with the same old rain beating on the windows, and the same old Mellish complaining that... Oh, I didn't mean to say that.
Oh, it is lovely here. lovely.
You mustn't sigh in paradise. And it is, isn't it? See how everything's been let in together. The dandelions and the lilies. The vulgar and the superior. Me and Mrs. Fisher. All welcome, all mixed up anyhow. And also visibly happy.
Mrs. Fisher doesn't seem happy. Not visibly, anyhow.
She'll begin soon, you'll see. Within a week, we'll have Mrs. Fisher bursting out with every kind of exuberance.
The idea of Mrs. Fisher bursting out into anything. She seems so firmly fixed inside her buttons.
She does now. But you just wait. Now, let's see if we can make ourselves understood and get some breakfast.
Signorina, Madonna Caroline.
Oh, it's you, Domenico.
Is there anything the signorina wishes?
Yes, Domenico. I wish to sit in this garden undisturbed. There are plenty of places for the other ladies to sit. The old one can have the battlements. Her sitting room opens onto them.
Yeah, she has commanded me to block up the other door so that no one may walk there but herself.
Then it will be very nice for her to stay up there. Thank you, Domenico. And now I wish to sleep.
Si, signorina.
Will you please do your watering on the other side of the garden?
Si, signorina. Certainly, signorina. It shall be as you wish.
Peace. Privacy. Quiet.
Let's rest for a minute, Rose.
Oh, it's a long way down the cliff path of the village.
Paradise. Rose.
Yes?
I've been thinking about my husband.
I shouldn't. Why spoil everything?
Well, that's just it. That's what I've been thinking. All this coming away and leaving Mellish in that dreary house while I rollick around in heaven.
Lottie! Why, only this morning...
I know, but... there's something about San Salvatore. It makes you see things quite differently. That's why I've written and told Mellish everything.
Everything?
Well, not about my nest egg and the advertisement, and not really about my being here as your guest. I'll tell him that when he comes.
When he comes? Lottie, you can't mean...
I've invited Mellish to come and stay with us.
Well, I just can't understand. After all, after taking such pains to escape... You've changed so much since we left London... I can't follow your developments. It was what happened with Fred...
Who?
My husband. The whole idea of coming here was to get away, wasn't it? Well, we've got away. And now, after a single day of it, you write to the very people...
The very people we were getting away from. Yes, it's quite true. But, well, you see, this place makes me feel, well, flooded with love.
And do you think it will have the same effect on your husband?
I don't know. But the great thing is to have lots of love about. I see that now. At home, I wouldn't love Mellish unless he loved me back. Exactly as much. Absolute fairness. Did you ever? And as he didn't, neither did I. And oh, the aridity of that house. The aridity.
I know. Oh, I wish.
What?
Nothing. I don't think I'll come down to the village, Lottie. I think I want to think.
All right, I'll be going then. Rose?
Yes?
Don't think too long. Write and invite him at once.
Invite who?
Your husband. Goodbye.
If only I dared. But he wouldn't come. He wouldn't come.
There was no mention of husbands, Mrs. Williams, at our interview in London.
But we arranged, didn't we, that if any of us wanted to, we could bring a guest, Mrs. Fisher.
I don't remember that.
It was clearly stated at our interview.
But one's whole idea was to get away from one's friends.
And one's husband.
And family affection.
And the want of family affection.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that so much.
Indeed, Lady Caroline. A little more chicken, Mrs. Arbuthnot?
No, thank you. Will you have some more peas?
I've kept thinking of those empty beds. They each ought to have someone happy inside them.
There is only one unoccupied bedroom in this house.
Only one? Oh, dear. Then the problem is where to put Mellish. I mean, if any of you should decide to invite someone... Well, you see, I suppose it's selfish of me. But it's such a treat to have a room to myself after all these years. And Mellish...
Mrs. Williams, if you please. There are certain things in life which are never talked about. Most things connected with husbands are not talked about. How and where they sleep should be known only to their wives. May I offer you some nuts, Mrs. Arbuthnot?
No, thank you.
So far as I'm concerned, Mr. Wilkins is welcome to the spare room.
I'm agreeable, too.
Oh, thank you. If you're sure no one else wants it.
I have a friend. I wish to invite her to join me.
Have you, Mrs. Fisher?
That settles Mellish, then.
Yes, I... He'll have to share my room.
Unless, of course, he can't come.
Oh, but he will come. I know he will. You see, I see him here.
Domenico!
Si, Madonna Caroline?
Where are the other ladies?
The older one, once more, she sits on the battlements alone. The dark-eyed signora, the beautiful one.
Signora Arbuthnot?
She remains all day by the sea. And the little Signora Wilkins goes walking up there in the hills.
Taking her lunch in a bag.
Si, signorina. And the climbing. She listens to Giuseppe, my sister's son, who plays the guitar up there.
She's happy, Domenico, because her husband is coming. At least, she thinks that's why she's happy.
Oh, I am glad, signorina. If you will pardon me, it is sad to see three such charming ladies unattended by gentlemen.
But we don't want gentlemen, Domenico.
Even the old signora is sad. Without gentlemen, the place is so quiet, signorina, so lifeless.
I'm tired of gentlemen, Domenico. I'm tired of being quarreled over. Tired of being grabbed at. Being curiously hated by people's wives. I never wanted their tiresome husbands. Oh, how tawdry it all seems now. Tawdry. Domenico, you know, there's something about this place.
Si, signorina.
Makes one see things differently.
Ah, the little signora Wilkins is coming. I will go now, signorina. Buongiorno, signora.
Good morning, Domenico. Good morning, Caroline.
Oh, Lottie, I wish you'd call me Scrap.
Sorry, Scrap.
Is it time to meet your husband?
Very nearly time. And I've made up my mind. No matter what he says or does, I won't rouse myself for a single instant to be upset or cross. It's funny how afraid of him I've always been.
But not here?
Not now. You see, I found my celestial legs. Well, the first thing he'll want will be a hot bath. Mellish always wants a hot bath.
Oh, we'd better warn Domenico. You do know about the bath, don't you?
Well, the first morning I took one look at those long printed instructions on the wall.
Headed pericoloso.
And decided, like the rest of you, to make do with a sponge bath in my room. What does pericoloso mean, Scrap?
Dangerous.
Oh.
The bathroom's only been put in lately, so the servants are fascinated by it.
Yes, they are, aren't they?
Nobody quite understands how it works. So Francesca refuses to leave the bathroom while anyone's in there. She stays with her back turned, watching the tap, and all the other servants wait anxiously outside the door till one comes safely out.
Oh, dear, Mellish won't like that. Do you think Francesca will want to stay with him, too?
Oh, I expect so. Does he speak Italian?
No.
Well, I'll try and explain the whole thing to Domenico.
Oh, would you, Scrap? Now I better walk down and meet Mellish when he arrives in the village.
Just pick him up casually, like a pin. That's the best way to meet a husband. So soon after breakfast.
Giuseppe, Giovanni.
No, 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 here I say. Let go of my luggage.
Buongiorno, signore.
Let go.
Buongiorno.
I want Salvatore. Let go.
Mellish.
Oh, Lottie, how are you, my dear?
Ah, signora.
Oh, Mellish.
Then this is the right place. Well, you know, I thought these fellows
no,
were...
No, they're not brigands. They only want to carry your luggage up to the castle.
Great Scott, and I thought they were, well, extraordinary.
E I miei ragazzi porteranno il bagaglio del signore alla sua camera, signora.
Grazie, dia, Domenico, dia. Grazie. Domenico and the boys are taking your luggage on ahead, dear.
You mean you understood him? You surprise me, Lottie.
Do I, Mellish? Come along. We have to climb quite a way up to the castle. Up here.
Yes. Well, I must say I was very interested in your letter.
Were you?
Yes, particularly in your account of your fellow guests.
Look, Mellish. Isn't the view lovely over the sea?
Yes, delightful. Lady Kylerine Bester, you say, is here with you?
Yes, and Mrs. Fisher, and of course Rose.
Mrs. Arbuthnot, your hostess, quite.
We'll soon see the beginning of the garden.
The garden, eh? Oh, yes. You know, of course, that Lady Caroline is the only daughter of the Earl of Broitwich.
Is she? I'm afraid this is quite a steep climb, isn't it?
Yes, it is, isn't it? You know, the Droitwiches are one of our most oldest and very powerful families, very wealthy.
Oh, really? When we get to the top, you'll see such a view.
Yes. As a solicitor, I'm glad of this opportunity to meet Lady Caroline.
Oh, you like her. She's a darling.
For there's always the possibility that, well, even if the Droitwiches may not need my services, their daughter might. She's very beautiful, I believe. And beauty leads one into strange situations.
Now, Mellish, look. Just look at those colours.
Very fine. Yes, very fine indeed.
There's our gate. Let's go in.
Yes, I think on the whole I should prefer not to be presented to her ladyship till lunchtime, Lottie, my dear.
No, Mellish. Let's go in, shall we?
Yes. Yes, lunchtime. I think I'll have a shave first and then a bath, followed by a short sleep, perhaps.
Oh, yes, of course. After being all night in the train.
Oh, naturally, I do want to be at my best to meet the daughter of the Droitwiches.
Naturally. Domenico! Yes, I thought you'd want a bath, Mellish.
Il bagaglio del signore è a posto.
Grazie, Domenico, grazie.
Do I give this fellow anything?
No, he's our gardener. Bagno, Domenico, bagno.
Sì, signora, bagno.
That's the Italian for bath, Mellish.
Oh, you do surprise me, my dear.
Bagno, subito, signora. Giuseppe, Angela, Francesca, Costanza, un bagno.
Sì, il signor desidera un bagno.
La camera di bagno.
Zitta. Fate presto, il signore aspetta un bagno.
The extraordinary, excitable lot, these foreigners.
Come upstairs, Mellish, and I'll show you our room. I should think the water would be hot by now, Mellish.
My bathrobe, slippers. Now, which way is the bathroom, my dear?
Down the passage, that way, where you see the crowd.
Good heavens.
I'll be in the garden when you're dressed, Mellish.
Thank you, my dear. Good heavens, what on earth are they all standing about for? Oh, well.
Adesso il porco brucia bene.
Fate l'acqua correre un po' meno.
Now, really, now, I can't have all these people standing about.
Go away, please. Go away. I am about to have a bath. Kindly go away.
I say, signor. The watch of the water. Pericoloso.
Stay in the bathroom while I... Go away. Go, all of you. Go, go now! Out! 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 Oh, really, these foreigners. Nice and hot. Oh, well. Help! 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 Oh, drag it. Lock. Oh. Hello! Oh, where's my towel? Help! Help!
Stas ancora! Presto!
Help! Doesn't anyone in this blasted place speak English? That bath, that infernal bath, it exploded.
I expect you turned the tap off.
It always blows up when you turn the tap off. And then there's a flood.
Then why in the name of all that's... Oh. Oh.
What is it now?
You must be... Oh, no, not like this. Have I the honour to address Lady Caroline Bester?
You have indeed. And you are Mr. Mellish Wilkins, I take it.
In a bath towel. In
a bath towel.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Caltex play, The Enchanted April.
If you care for your car, fill up with the gasoline designed to take better care of your car's performance. If you're already a confirmed Caltex man, you'll know what we mean. If you're not, fill up with Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline and see what a performance difference there is. Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline gives faster starts, smoother acceleration, and more economical running. The gasoline designed for today's faster pace, Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline, takes better care of your car's performance. Drive in for Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline at the sign of the Caltex Star, where we take better care of your car.
The Caltex Theater now presents Mari Clark in The Enchanted April. Act Two.
Nothing on but a bath towel, Lottie. What must she have thought? The daughter of the Earl of Droitwich.
What did she do, Millish?
Oh, she behaved superbly. Blue blood, of course. And introduced herself, and everything began to go swimmingly. Lottie, what are you laughing at?
Oh, I'm sorry, Millish. It was only because you said swimmingly. Then what happened?
Well, it was then that an elderly lady appeared.
Mrs. Fisher, oh, goodness.
She stood rooted. I don't blame her. Lady Caroline Dester shaking hands with her. Oh, heavens.
Poor Mellish, how dreadful for you.
Well, I tried to explain what had happened to Mrs. Fisher, but she insisted that I should wait until I was clothed and in my right mind.
Oh, dear.
Do you realize, young man, she said, that you're dripping? I could have sunk through the floor, Lottie. Through the floor.
Oh, Mellish, never mind. You'll have lots of chances to create the right impression. You know how you can. You are always charming.
Oh, good of you to say so, my dear.
With clients.
Oh, very good of you to say so.
And you're really... Yes, you are. You're handsome, Mellish.
Oh, come, Lottie. Nonsense.
Yes, you are. I'm sure you'll create a very good impression.
Well, I shall certainly exert myself to do so, my dear. Have you unpacked my grey silk tie?
Very good, Mr. Wilkins. A very amusing anecdote. Do you care for nuts?
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Fisher.
It is remarkable how the presence of even one member of the male sex raises the standard of the dinner table from that of a bear garden. Yes, Mr. Wilkins, a bear garden, to that of a civilized social gathering.
Well, on behalf of my sex, I thank you, Mrs. Fisher.
Mellish is a civilizing influence, isn't he, Mrs. Fisher? He looks so clean. One could eat one's dinner off him.
Lottie!
Really, Lottie?
Really, my dear.
A sore subject, eh? And now, Mr. Wilkins, I propose to adjourn to my sitting room.
Allow me.
Thank you.
I have ordered coffee to be served on the terrace.
I have ordered coffee in my sitting room, Mrs. Arbuthnot.
Oh, I see.
Perhaps Mr. Wilkins would care to take his with me?
I should be delighted, if Mrs. Arbuthnot will excuse me.
I? Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
You will be interested in my signed photographs. Gladstone's and Tennyson's and Matthew Arnold's, all friends of my father.
I'm overwhelmed, Mrs. Fisher.
Lottie, you've lost your husband.
I'm so glad. I mean, I'm so glad the spell is working. I expected Mellish to take at least 2 days before he got to this stage.
Being pleasant at dinner, you mean?
Oh, he's always pleasant at meals with other people. But he's been pleasant to me all day. Do you know, Lady Caroline, he actually complimented me on my looks when I was brushing my hair this evening.
Oh, so he should. You've got nice hair, like curly honey.
But Scrap, he kissed me, and it was neither good morning nor good night. Oh, there's no question. There is something about this place.
I wonder.
Dear Rose, do send for your husband at once.
I can't be sure that his work may prevent... I don't think I'll bother with coffee. Will you both excuse me?
I don't think you should have mentioned her husband, Lottie.
But she wants him and she won't ask him.
Who is her husband? What's he like?
I don't know. She doesn't talk about him. I believe he works at the British Museum.
Oh, fancy.
Why fancy?
Well, fancy wanting anybody. And fancy wanting anybody out of a museum.
Look, Mellish, what a beautiful yellow rose.
Well, I'll cut it for you. Oh, that is if you think Mrs. Arbuthnot wouldn't object.
Why should Rose... Oh, no, no, I'm sure she wouldn't.
There.
Thank you, Mellish. Oh, heavenly.
Mrs. Arbuthnot is a very charming hostess, Lottie, but so very retiring, allowing Mrs. Fisher to preside at her table.
Yes. Oh.
Is something wrong, my dear?
I'd better tell you. You're bound to find out anyway, and... Oh, but you'll be angry again. And I never want to see you angry again. Oh, Mellish.
My dear love, what on earth
is... Rose isn't our hostess.
What? Then who
is... Nobody is. Rose and I decided to take this place because the advertisement sounded so wonderful. Sunshine and wisteria, it said.
Advertisement?
And it was such a terribly rainy day. And suddenly, I saw us here in the sunshine. And I simply had to do it, even if it took the whole of my nest egg.
Your nest egg, Lottie?
Yes, Mellish. Oh, what I'd save against a rainy day...
I'm afraid I don't understand. How does Lady Caroline...
Scrap and Mrs. Fisher are just chairs. We advertised for them. We couldn't have afforded it without them.
I see.
Oh, Mellish, will you ever forgive me? I've told you so many fibs. Oh, please forgive me. You're very right to be angry, but I hope... Mellish?
Angrier? On the contrary, I think you've been an extremely fortunate Lottie.
Fortunate?
I used to be, if I may so describe it, only with Lady Caroline Dester. And to have met with such an eminently respectable and probably wealthy old lady as Mrs. Fisher. And I think you've done very well. I didn't know you had it in you.
Mellish!
Sunshine, comfort, delightful companionship. What, I ask myself, can be more beneficial than such a holiday?
Oh, Mellish, you're so sweet. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, dear Lottie.
So, this is where you've been hiding yourself every day, Rose.
I like to look at the irises and see the sea between their leaves.
Rose, you haven't written to your husband.
Written? No, Lottie. It wouldn't be any good.
How do you know unless you try?
I shouldn't have come on this holiday.
But why?
I could keep busy in London, working among the poor. But this place, having nothing to do in this lovely place, it's thrown me back into the wretched state I thought I'd climbed out of years ago. I'm getting sorry for myself. And that's what Frederick hated. That's why I bored him so dreadfully.
How do you know you bored Frederick?
I didn't know I did. Until this minute. I think it must be true, though. It wasn't just that I hated his work. Couldn't bear living by
it. But I thought you said he worked at the British Museum.
He does. But now his books are so successful, he only goes there for a search.
Search what for?
For his horrible books. He has two rooms near the museum, and he might as well live there. Oh, when he comes home, he's always polite and charming, very generous. But he doesn't want me anymore. Why should he? When he's perfectly happy with his dreadful women.
Oh, poor Rose.
There's a new one every year.
A new one every year?
A new book about another woman.
Oh, yes, I see, of course.
They're enormously popular.
But isn't that a good thing?
They'll go on forever. You see, there are so many of them.
So many what?
Lighter loves. So many kings who had lighter loves and even more lighter loves who had kings. And whether I like it or not, I have to live on the proceeds.
Why do you hate it so?
Because they were bad. The worse they were, the better the books succeed. And the more generous Frederick becomes.
Oh, Rose.
Don't, Lottie, please.
I'm sorry. You really do mind.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, he wouldn't come.
But why not give him a chance? Miracles happen in a place like this.
I tell you, he wouldn't come.
Try him and see. Please, Rose. Here you might learn to understand each other better. Why, it might even bring back your love.
No. That's all gone years ago. Perhaps I've been too straight-laced, giving myself up to good works to cure my unhappiness. Perhaps I should have... Oh, if only I could talk to him again. At least attempt something different in our lives, instead of the blankness, the cold, the loneliness of being always separate.
Write to him, Rose.
Suppose he doesn't answer.
Give him the chance.
I don't think I could bear it if he didn't answer.
He will. I'm sure he'll answer.
Oh, Lottie, I will write.
Rose.
I haven't much hope, but at least I'll try. I'll write. I'll write at once.
Oh, Lottie, you're a treasure. Do you know, Mr. Wilkins, that you're married to a treasure?
You think me fortunate, Lady Caroline? I must say I'm beginning to think Lottie's right. There is something peculiar in the atmosphere of this place. It promotes expansion. It brings out dormant qualities.
I'm afraid I can't have any dormant qualities. We've been here 3 weeks and nothing's happened to me.
Oh, yes, it has. Scrap, you're much nicer than you were.
Am I? Well, I do feel smoothed out. Really quite amiable on the whole. But have you noticed how restless Mrs. Fisher is lately? Look, there she is in the top garden, walking about.
Oh, so she is.
She's beginning to become unglued, that's all.
Would she be likely to have anything on her mind? If she has, and her restlessness appears to suggest it, I should be more than glad to assist her with a device.
Oh, how kind.
Her own legal advisor is not on the spot. I am. And a lawyer on the spot, you know, is worth two in London.
I think it must be very lonely to be Mrs. Fisher.
Poor old thing. No love of any kind.
Really? Well, perhaps I should try and have a word with her.
I should. While Lottie and I go on our picnic.
Scrap, are we going on a picnic?
Yes. I'm bored with sitting.
Then I'll tell Francesca to make us some sandwiches. Oh, Rose, Scrap and I are going for a picnic. Why don't you come?
No, I don't think I will. Lottie, has the post come yet?
Yes.
Then there was nothing. He must have had my letter by now.
He may send a wire, you know. Mellish did.
Oh, do you think he... No. Most unlikely.
Why? When you come in at lunch, there may be a telegram for you.
No. No, there won't be.
Yes, think of it, Rose. By the time I see you again, perhaps you'll have heard from Frederick.
I wish I could believe that, Lottie.
A very strange story, Mr. Wilkins. Domenico told it me.
The gardener, Mrs. Fisher?
Yes. It was about a cherrywood walking stick. Mr. Briggs, father of the present owner of the castle, thrust his stick into the ground and said to Domenico's father, "Here we will have an oleander." And he left the stick in the ground as a reminder. Presently, how long afterwards, Domenico was not able to tell me, the stick began to sprout.
Really?
And it was an oleander.
An oleander. Extraordinary.
This is an extraordinary place, Mr. Wilkins. Oh, yes, Francesca. What is it? We heard the luncheon bell.
Telegramma. Telegramma, signora.
For whom?
La signora Arbuthnot.
What is the Italian for out, Mrs. Fisher?
Fuori.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Francesca, is that for me?
Ah, si, signora.
Oh, it's come. Oh, thank you. I was expecting it.
Prego, signora.
I was expecting, well, half expecting this telegram. Will you excuse me, Mrs. Fisher? Mr. Wilkins?
Of course.
By all means, Mrs. Arbuthnot.
No bad news, I trust.
Bad news?
You've gone quite white.
Bad news? No. No, on the contrary. We're to have a visitor. I'm passing through on my way to Rome. May I pay my respects this afternoon? Signed, Thomas Briggs.
And who, pray, is Thomas Briggs?
The young man who owns the castle. He's very nice. I met him when we rented this place. He's coming here this afternoon, and the telegram was to let me know.
Mrs. Arbuthnot?
Oh, Mr. Briggs. We didn't expect you so soon. Lottie and Lady Caroline are out.
Do stand still a moment. Just there on the stairs.
I beg your pardon?
Thank you. Yes, I thought so. You do look exactly like that painting of the Madonna, there to your left. I noticed the resemblance in London.
Is that why you've come, Mr. Briggs, to compare me with the painting?
You do see how extraordinarily alike... I'm sorry. How do you do, Mrs. Arbuthnot?
How do you do, Mr. Briggs? The servants are terribly excited about your coming. They've been singing even more than usual.
The Signora Fisher will be pleased to receive the master in her sitting room.
Who, Francesca?
One of the four ladies who are sharing your castle, Mr. Briggs. My friend and I found we couldn't afford it by ourselves.
I wish you didn't have to afford anything, Mrs. Arbuthnot. I mean, I wish you were here as my guest.
Thank you.
Scusi, the Signora Fisher is waiting, Signor.
Won't she keep? You were going for a walk, weren't you, with Mrs. Arbuthnot? I'd like to join you. May I, Mrs. Arbuthnot?
Well, why not, Mr. Briggs? I think the Signora Fisher will keep. And so please.
More tea, Mrs. Fisher?
No, thank you, Mrs. Arbuthnot. But that wasn't all, Mr. Briggs. The stick began to sprout. And it was an oleander.
No.
Yes?
My dear boy, I just remember that you must know the story by heart. It happened to your own father.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have heard it before.
But I feel exactly like that walking stick.
Oh?
It's a most curious sensation. I know it sounds odd, but I feel as if I were coming out all over bugs.
Dear Mrs. Fisher, I'm so glad.
Good gracious. Oh, it's you, Mrs. Wilkins.
Lottie.
Lottie, my dear, may I introduce Mr. Briggs, the owner of San Salvatore, my wife Briggs.
Mr. Briggs, oh, I'm so glad you've come. Now you'll be able to see with your own eyes what a benefactor you are.
Benefactor? I just looked in on my way to Rome.
Oh, but you're staying here tonight, aren't you?
Oh, no, I'll go to the hotel.
Oh, how ridiculous. It's your house.
But you haven't room for me.
Why not? There's a spare room, and Mrs. Fisher's friend isn't in it. Is she Mrs. Fisher? Mrs. Fisher?
She is not, which is fortunate, for she is an excessively wide person, and the room is excessively narrow. So you see, my dear boy, you must stay here and give us all a great deal of pleasure.
How kind. I'd love to be a guest here, and with three such... But oughtn't there to be a fourth hostess?
You mean Lady Caroline?
We'd better find out first if she invites me, too.
The daughter of the Droitwiches, Briggs, is not likely to be wanting in proper hospitable impulses.
I'd prefer to wait until I...
Here she comes.
Is there any tea left?
Oh, how beautiful.
Is there any tea?
Beautiful.
Lady Caroline, may I present Mr. Briggs, the owner of San Salvatore? Lady Caroline Dester, the daughter of the Earl of Droitwich.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I'll get you some tea, Caroline.
Oh, please, may I? Let me, yes, let me. Oh, I do beg your... I'm afraid I dropped the spoon. Very clumsy of me.
I'll pour, Mr. Briggs.
Thank you, Mrs. Arbuthnot. So clumsy. Won't you have a macaroon, Lady Caroline?
No, thank you.
Depending on your approval, Lady Caroline, we have all invited Mr. Briggs to spend the night here.
Oh, is there room?
Oh, yes, there's certainly room, Scrat.
Then, of course, I join in the invitation.
Do you? Oh, how very... Thank you.
Where are your things, Mr. Briggs? My dear boy.
My things? Oh, yes, my things are there at the hotel.
Then we'll tell Domenico to fetch them. Now it's getting chilly. I'm going inside.
Oh, allow me to open the door.
Oh, thank you. Yes. On my word. We're pretty faced from some delightful man into an idiot who's past all patience.
Hadn't you better see Domenico about your things, Mr. Briggs?
Oh, yes. Yes, if you'll excuse me, ladies. Lady Caroline...
Certainly.
Yes, of course.
Of course, Mr. Briggs.
I am going up to my room. And I am staying there.
Oh, dear. Poor Mr. Briggs.
Struck all of a heap. Isn't it nice? More love.
Rather one-sided love. Just the sort of thing Caroline came here to escape.
I don't believe she'll mind it here. Don't mind about Frederick's not writing, Rose. There'll be a glorious final few days before we all go home refreshed for life.
How sure you are of everything, Lottie.
I've been right so far, haven't I?
You won't be right about this. But I had a delightful afternoon walking with Mr. Briggs. He's very charming, very complimentary. Even if he did forget me the minute he set eyes on Caroline. But there's something about admiration, appreciation.
Oh, isn't there?
I felt as if I were coming alive. I felt amusing, Lottie.
And pretty. Didn't you know?
Well, yes, I did. I begin to see now why women like Madame Du Barry...
Rose!
I begin to see why they were so attractive. It is rather nice being admired, even for one afternoon.
All alone in the moonlight, Signora Caroline?
I wish to be alone, Domenico.
But everything is so gay tonight, Signorina, with the master here.
I don't want gaiety, Domenico. And I told you before, I'm tired of gentlemen.
Oh, Signorina. Then the place has not done you any good at all. Good night, Signorina.
Oh. Good night, Domenico. Oh, heavens, Briggs. No. Huh.
Oh, what a climb. It's years since I... Lady Caroline.
Good heavens! Ferdinand Arundel.
Lady Droitwich, tell me you are here.
Mother did. Oh, she promised faithfully not to tell a soul.
I know, I wangled it out of her. Oh, Lord, that climb.
Well, sit down and cool off, and then you must climb down again.
Oh, Lady Caroline... Is that kind?
I don't feel kind.
Alas, you never do. And I followed you all the way from England.
And there's the dressing bell, Ferdinand. I must change for dinner.
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, you'd better stay for dinner now you're here.
Dine with you? May I really? Oh, but what about those other people your mother mentioned?
Oh, they won't mind. They're very nice. I got them out of an advertisement.
An advertisement?
It's a good way, I find, to get friends. I'll have to go now, Ferdinand. I'll send the maid out to show you the way to the dining room.
Thank you. Bless you, Caroline.
Are you ready, early, Rose?
Yes, I am.
Rose?
I'll get some air on the terrace. It's
Rose!
So...
Rose!
Frederick! Oh, darling. Darling, you came. You really came.
And you?
Oh, I hardly dared to hope. It is a miracle.
You mean you were expecting me?
I was afraid, and yet I hoped and prayed. Oh, God can do miracles. I know it now. Oh, darling.
Oh, well. Oh, what's happened to you, Rose? You haven't kissed me like that since we were first married.
You've made me so happy. So happy.
Hmm. Well, it suits you. Suits me too. Darling.
Darling. When did you start?
When did I... Oh, yesterday morning.
On the very instant then.
The very
instant you got my letter.
Your letter? You mean... Oh, yes, of course. Your letter.
Oh, my darling.
Hmm. Oh, sweetheart. Sweetheart. Hmm. Happiness suits you very well indeed.
Rose, are you... Oh. Oh. Oh, I'm so glad you've come, Mr. Arbuthnot. Didn't I tell you, Rose?
Lottie, this is my husband.
I know. My goodness, I'm pleased to see you, Mr. Arbuthnot.
Did you expect me to?
Of course. I was absolutely certain you'd come.
You were?
Of course. I just saw you here with Rose.
Really?
Bring him inside, Rose, to meet the others.
Yes, I want you to meet the others, darling.
The others? Yes, darling. After you. Caroline, while we have a moment.
Well, Ferdinand?
Caroline, I want to kiss your shoes.
Oh, do you? Then I must go and put on my new ones.
When that blessedly impetuous young woman, Lottie, blurted out in the nick of time that I was Rose's husband, you turned to me without the faintest shadow of surprise and held out your hand as if meeting me for the first time.
Oh, naturally. I was surprised, of course. No one in London ever calls you anything but Ferdinand Arundel.
I didn't know it was only the pen name you use for your historical books.
I'm apt to forget it myself. Oh, Caroline, what a situation, and you saved it.
I was watching Rose's face at dinner. I don't think I could ever have forgiven myself if I'd said anything to spoil that happiness.
Something miraculous has happened. I still can't understand it. All I know is that my wife has come back to me, that I'm utterly bewildered and utterly happy, and I want to kiss your shoes.
Here's my hand instead. Won't that save trouble?
Bless you. Bless you.
It's San Salvatore you should bless.
Brad.
On the terrace, Lottie. Go back to Rose.
Yes. Yes. Isn't it an enchanting night, Mrs. Wilkins?
Magic. Must you really sit out here all alone, Spring?
Oh, don't worry about me, Lottie.
Poor Mr. Briggs. Can't you be a little nice to him?
Oh, he certainly is a problem.
He's leaving tomorrow.
I have a feeling that won't solve him. Once they get that leaping look in their eyes, they begin turning up in all sorts of places wherever I happen to be. And then they get hurt because I don't want them.
Don't you ever?
Well, would you in that idiotic state? I dare say Mr. Briggs is very nice, really. I dare say he's got brains.
He has, and character.
There's something quite noble about the shape of his head.
Noble and kind.
I dare say I might like him very much. If only he wouldn't be so excessively fond of me.
Yes, what a pity. Isn't this a night to remember forever? A full moon and the flowers all white. And Rose so happy. Can you tell me of anything else in the world that works such wonders as love?
No.
There's Mr. Briggs down there in the garden. Poor Mr. Briggs. To think that of all of us, he's the only one to leave this place empty-handed.
Lottie, where are you? Come and look at the moon over the sea.
Yes, Mellish, coming.
Oh. Mr. Briggs!
Lady Caroline? Yes, Lady Caroline.
Would you like to come and sit with me for a while, Mr. Briggs?
How delightful.
Lottie, look at that.
Hush, Mellish.
The daughter of the Droitwich is holding hands like that with... Great heavens, I feel it my duty to intervene.
Come inside, Mellish.
The way they stare at each other. I don't like it, Lottie, I don't like it. Why, they've never set eyes on each other before today.
That's why they're able to go ahead now.
Go ahead? No, I'm sure this must be...
Now, Mellish.
Can't you see it's her family I'm thinking of, the Droitwiches? Lottie, a man called Briggs. Briggs!
Oh, Mrs. Fisher, we thought you were reading.
It's odd, my dear, but none of my authors seem worth reading tonight. They may be great, but they have one immense disadvantage. They're dead. I'm interested in the living.
Dear Mrs. Fisher, do sit down there.
Thank you, dear. Well, where are the others?
The Roses have gone into the lower garden.
The Roses?
The Fredericks, then, if you like. They're completely merged and indistinguishable.
Why not say the Arbuthnots, my dear?
Very well, Mellish, the Arbuthnots. And the Carolines.
Oh,
really, Lottie?
Very well, Mellish, the Briggses, then.
The Briggses?
I'm sorry, Mellish, if you don't like it.
For the sake of the Droitwiches, this must be stopped immediately.
It's too late, Mellish. Nothing any of us can do will make the slightest difference now.
Why?
What do you mean?
Because... Oh, don't look so alarmed and solemn, both of you, because...
Because what, Lottie?
Because, my dears, I see them being Briggses.
Really, Lottie?
Oh, smell the oleanders. That scent will have a special meaning for us, all of us, as long as we live.
So ends our Caltech's play, The Enchanted April. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast and tell you about next Sunday's Caltech's play. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of tonight's Caltech's play, E. Mason Wood.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The Enchanted April was adapted for radio by Kay Keaveney. In the starring role you heard...
I was Lottie.
This was Larry Clark. Our supporting cast was as follows. Rose, Jacqueline Cott. Mrs. Fisher, Queenie Ashton. Lady Caroline, Philippa Baker. Mellish, John Hewson. Mr. Briggs, Keith Buckley. Francesca, Irene Sims. Frederick, Walter Sullivan. Domenico, Peter Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Next week in the Caltex Theatre, you will hear an outstanding radio dramatization of the powerful Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer film, Bad Day at Black Rock, which starred Spencer Tracy, Robert Ryan, Lee Marvin, and Ernest Borgnine, who has been filming in Australia. Be listening next week for this tense drama of a man against a whole town, Bad Day at Black Rock. Remember to be listening too for England Expects and Close Quarters, further outstanding productions soon to be heard in the Caltex Theatre. Now this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts, Caltex Oil, marketers of Caltex Super Gasoline and Caltex Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.